listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, episode 31 for November 2009.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger.
What is this? This has nothing to do with Green Lantern. Roll the music.
Currently tuned into the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast for all your news and reviews about our favorite emerald-clad heroes. The GL Spotlight is sponsored by the Green Lantern Corps, where you can find all the latest news and reviews on everything Green Lantern and talk about them on their forums. Check them out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com and tell them that Spotlight sent you. Okay, welcome everyone for our Green Lantern Spotlight episode 31. We've gone a long way that we haven't stopped yet, or actually negated by iTunes or Zune to be thrown off their
list. Zune.
Yeah, Zune. I'm your host, Frankie Mateo, the formerly known as Rainer2814, and we have our panel host here with us. We have Kuhan, the creator of the Real View Mirror podcast. Kuhan, how are you doing?
I am also creating Mr. Colton Clayton Musar's new shameless internet plug, the Abridgeprint podcast. Check it out on abridgeprint.wordpress.com and on iTunes.
We also have Musard, our resident geek expert. How are you doing, Musard?
Remember, every answer must be in the form of a question.
Who is Brandon West?
The co-webmaster behind the speedster sites.proboards.com. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing great.
You know that now that you said the speedster site.proboards.com, they're going to type in the T-H-E in the beginning, too.
It's fine. There's
we also have our sponsor, our great Andrew NDB. How are you doing, Andrew?
Bitch, I'm a cry.
And we're still my bike.
That's idiot for, I'm
professionalism.
And joining us tonight, we have a new member or a new guest member right now. We have Eric Cahill. How are you doing, Eric?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Eric, since you joined us for the first time, give us a little bit about yourself and how you got into Green Lantern.
All right. Well, you know, I read, you know, comics every week. I'm like, you know, spending, most of my check, unfortunately, and so forth. I've been reading Green Lantern, something my dad was really into when I was a kid. I kind of grew up reading some old Hal Jordan stuff when, like, Mike Barr was writing it or whatever. I'm sorry, not but Jerry Jones was writing it or whatever. And then I didn't really get into it hardcore until Kyle Rayner came in. I was into it for a few years, and I pulled out of it. And then when everything started, all the hype started happening around Geoff Johns stuff, I kind of jumped back into it. I guess that's really it. I mean, GL's not my favorite thing, and I guess I'm probably going to be a lot of –
What are you doing here? And stuff.
Yeah.
We don't like Green Lantern either.
It's fine. Wes, you don't like anything. Whatever.
It's fine.
Remember this. World's Thinnest Books. Things that W. West likes.
Anyway.
So we're going to go straight into our reviews of comic books now. Okay, so we're going right into our comic book reviews today. With the two tie-in issues of Green Lantern, the two tie-in issues for the Blackest Night, I mean, and going into Booster Gold number 26. Wes, how do you feel about the issue?
Was not that good. Not that
Elaborate.
Good. It was some pretty good art by Dan Jurgens. I think that's Jurgens. Who did the art. Jurgens, is that how you say it? Okay.
It was Mike Norton, by the way. Dan Jurgens was the writer, I think.
Norton did all the work?
Well, it's...
I thought he just did the Blue Beetle backups.
Did he? I don't know.
No, it looks like they shared penciling duties.
Some
pages is Jurgens, some pages is the other dude.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right. You
can noticeably tell the difference.
Yeah.
It says additional art by Mike Norton.
Right, right.
Yeah, they did a good job with the art. That's about the only thing that was good at this issue. Booster was pretty boring. I thought there was a nice little concept there with the funeral, but it didn't have any emotion for me. And even as a Booster fan, I'm sure they didn't have too much emotion. It felt forced, like, oh, Booster, of course he's upset. So, I don't know. It's more of the same bullshit that we've gotten over the past, 5 months now. I'm over the zombies coming back thing. Did nothing for me. But it was a nice setup if I wanted to get in the Booster. Other than that, it was garbage. Give it a D+.
D plus?
D as in damn, this sucked.
Damn.
I think Colton called that just right.
I didn't, damn.
Alright, so we'll move to Mew.
Okay, I need a second. I just lost some brain cells by that review.
Take it easy. It's alright.
I am stammering.
Well, I suppose you could view me and Wes as the alternates. Wes is the, you know, gigantic dick, and I'm the nice guy who's a little bit more forgiving.
Do you know what the word alternate means?
Wes has a gigantic...
No! No!
Not has, is. There's a difference.
I have a gigantic what now?
Shut up, Wes. Mew, I think you mean the word opposite.
Going back onto the issue, aside from the art, which I liked, I also liked some of the touches on the history, like the remake for the history of Ted Korda to go through his memories, which we do see more incentive on the memory download that we mentioned before. I like the emotional touch in the funeral, how Booster gets to relive the funeral even though we don't realize it at first, how he has some pretty bad spite for some of them for not even trying to help Ted or believe in him. And I like that touch. I mean, Booster's not exactly the most typical, brave, forgiving hero you'd see. And that's an important touch, I think. Also, where was it at? I like the chalkboard with all the future hints that they've been doing over the past few years. The touch on the Miracle Machine from Final Crisis makes me think something bad's going to happen in the future. But evidently, Ray wants me to wrap up my review, so I'll just say it was a decent issue. I mean, it wasn't the most amazing thing.
I wanted you to wrap your review. Just, pause for a good second there. I didn't think you had anything more to say. But if you have, something extra to, add.
if you have anything real to add to the conversation, go ahead, but whatever.
An important one thing to touch on Ted is he's a lot more jokey than he was even in his normal state, because you can see Ted is mixed between serious and kind of a Spider-Man joking around sort of thing. But here it's a lot more of just the joking around, hey, we're going to have fun, we're going to tell jokes kind of Ted. And I'm not sure if that's just the ring screwing with their minds or if that's how Dan has viewed Ted lately. But overall, I did like it. You don't have to give it a solid B. It was good, but it could have been better, I feel. But maybe the following issue will improve my view on it.
So we have a D+ and a solid B?
I'd say that's a legitimate statement.
All right, so I guess real opposites between you and your Brandon. Andrew, tell me what you think.
I followed the whole Booster Gold series so far, so this is a particularly doubly pleasing issue just because it ties into the Blackest Night as well. It's a sound beginning, and that's really what it is. It's the beginning. I mean, it kind of... it gets you a little bit pumped for the latter half of things with because Ted doesn't really make his entrance as a Black Lantern until the end of, the very end of the issue, and that's kind of where we're left. I like the funeral, and I don't think it was supposed to pull any heartstrings. I mean, we're already 5, 6, 7, 8 years, several years removed from the death of Ted, so it's not like it's supposed to be pulling heartstrings. I mean, we've already
4 or 5 years now, right?
It'd be like the death of Superman, five years later, oh, here's the funeral for Superman. You're not supposed to get worked up about it. I mean, it's nice to see because we didn't really get that the first time around. I like the different insight into the folks, and then him speculating on how Ted viewed various JLA members. That was cool. Other than that, I like the issue. It's a good build up for the second half. And that's the one that's going to be that's what's going to make or break this whole story. So that's the one to wait for. But I like this. This was cool. I give it a solid B. And the art was great. I mean, I've always been a fan of Jurgen's work. I think he pretty much does the definitive Superman. So it's kind of cool to see him get another crack at him, even just in bite-sized bits. But, yeah, solid B.
Two Bs and a D+. Kuhan, your review.
Has sort of become a kind of running joke on this podcast. Evidently, I don't read my books until about, 5 minutes before the podcast, or in this case, while everybody else is doing their review. I thought, unlike retarded West, that it was a solid issue. I used to read Booster Gold, and then it sort of fell by the wayside, but I think especially since I've been reading Blackest Night, and I know a lot of Booster Gold history, that this was a good jumping back on point. I think I'm going to start reading Booster Gold again after this. I did find Blue Beetle's character design a little weird. Anybody else think that?
I loved it. It was cool.
I thought it was the best part of the issue.
I thought it was cool, but I thought it was just a little weird. Like the teeth.
In fact,
I thought the nose was a little weird. I don't know.
Are we talking the new Blue Beetle or the Black Lantern Blue Beetle?
Black Lantern Blue Beetle. Ted Kord.
Not to be confused with the Black Beetle.
Right. Ted Kord. I'm going to call him Ted.
So many running around in the series.
And then you got the Red Beetle, and then suddenly you'll see the Green Beetle.
Yes, of course.
Well, I think the Black Beetle is the Red Beetle now, isn't he?
Wait, what?
As of the Black Beetle is the Red Beetle now, as of the last issue of the second feature.
Well,
Ted Kord. I found Ted Kord's character design a little weird. I mean, I like it. I like the costume design. I'm not nothing against the costume. It's just that the little bit of the face you see, I thought it was a little odd.
It's a lot of face.
I mean, yeah.
It is odd that his nose is like completely intact, but like his lips have like eroded away.
Yeah,
like,
his nose was really weird. I thought, I don't know. I mean, you know, like, other than
his nose looks fine.
Nose looks totally fine. But his entire face is like totally eroded away.
His cheeks and lips are gone.
But all the Black Lanterns all have eaten faces and stuff.
But not all of them have like their entire like lips and everything eroded away. Some of them are
some level of consistency.
It's just creative control, though.
Yeah, no,
artistic. Whatever.
I understand that. It just sort of.
Some bodies decay differently than others, right?
But the thing is,
earlier on in the issue, it wasn't that decayed. I think
when the first feature shows up, yeah.
Like right when he first shows up, like the first half, yeah. I think, is drawn by Jurgens and the second half by Norton or vice versa. I don't know. But
then the cover is Jurgens.
No, it's the same guy. I think he just redesigns the face towards the end. The face also changes like every panel.
A little later on, earlier on it's a different artist because the art changes significantly a little later on, and then it changes back, and then it's a little weird. It may even be the colors that weirded it out.
It looks like it's Jurgens until you first see Jamie in this.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to Jurgens when you see Booster at the casket.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's him until you see, what's his name? Dude at the house with
Daniel.
The video games. Yeah.
Daniel with the drink glass.
And it's him. It's him for the rest of the issue, it looks like.
I think a lot of the stuff when Ted shows up at the end is Jurgens. It looks like Jurgens did a lot of finishing, did a lot of penciling, and then the guy finished it. Because it looks a lot different than the Mike Norton's pages.
Although I do really like that the Blue Beetle stuff was drawn by Norton, because he did draw the Beetle book, and he's drawing the backup, right?
Yeah.
Although, so
which was suspiciously absent this issue. They didn't have the second feature that they're supposed to.
Well, it was
merged together.
It was because Blue Beetle was in this issue.
Right, which is
so you know he was in like half the issue, so it sort of makes sense that you're not gonna have Blue Beetle in half the issue and then do a backup having Blue Beetle again. It'd be the same.
And the Black Lantern itself is a
Although
Blue Beetle.
they're still charging the extra dollar, even though they don't have a backup in this issue.
But it's the same. It's the same
number of pages.
Yeah, it's the same length.
You sure?
Was it?
Yeah,
it felt short.
It feels about the same length.
It felt normal length.
It feels as thick. It feels normal length, but it feels just as thick as an issue with the backup. Anyways, like I was trying to say, I thought it was a solid issue. I mean, like the Ted funeral that we never got. I still feel like Ted Kord died, like, you know, months ago. It feels like it wasn't that long ago.
Because he came back for a while.
Right, he came back, it's, you know, all the weird stuff, but, you know, all stuff aside, I thought it was a good issue. I don't know what West has been smoking.
I don't like Booster.
I don't know how you don't like Booster. Booster's a great character.
I
didn't like this issue either. Yeah, I actually don't like Dan Jurgens' Booster series that much at all. I think he takes away a lot of, like, the good personality stuff that Booster has. It's too, like, generic. Like, holy
He's just the creator of Booster.
Dan Jurgens.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, he created the character, but a lot of the personality of the guys developed over the years, the stuff that makes Booster, like, actually entertaining is not stuff he was involved in. You know,
he was also the artist on the start of the series.
Let me just give it my B for Brandon's an ass. Okay.
Okay.
What's interesting is
Eric.
What's interesting is Dan Jurgens himself, in interviews, he's admitted, like, back when he was co-writing the book with Jeff Johns, he was saying, like, he doesn't know that he could write Booster Gold again well independently because he tends to make him like an asshole all the time. He doesn't make him like the well-rounded person. And he admits that. He admits that. But that's interesting.
I kind of like him as a little bit of an asshole. Like, sort of like...
Yes, exactly.
You're gonna continue. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, exactly. Yeah, I think. Well, I don't know. Like, my whole problem with the issue is my whole problem with the Booster Gold series. It feels like a comic from the 90s, you know, that got, like, stuck and then, like, somehow was published this year. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, like, my biggest problem with the whole...
Are you applauding him?
I think yeah. It's fapping.
Yeah, it's all right.
Whip him out if you got him.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Go on, Eric.
First, you don't get a good start. Right?
Please.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, that's my problem with the whole thing.
I agree with you. I feel like... Hold.
please, Eric, please just talk. Hurry.
And then it's the whole thing where it's like, I think we are supposed to get some kind of emotional content into the issue. And I'm glad they went back because they kind of have to reestablish that it's sad that Ted is dead because, like, it has been 2 years since he's been dead. You know what I mean? And they had to reestablish what Booster really was thinking because it kind of seems like a gap in the series they didn't cover, you know? But, like, I don't think it really touches on anything that interesting. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, I don't know. It's not, like, it's not weepy. You kind of have to go through, like, 8 pages of him telling you exactly what he thinks. You know what I mean? And then, like, my problem with Dan Jurgens is also his art. Like, it's all right. Like, it's okay. But, like, everybody keeps me – he has, like, 3 poses. Everybody does, you know? And it's, like, nobody ever seems like they're in action, you know? And his line work is even more wobbly than it ever was. Like, everybody's either, like – they're always doing that double fist thing. Like, they're holding – you ever watch 30 Rock where Alec Baldwin holds the 2 mugs? Like, it looks like nobody knows what to do with their hands. So they're just making 2 fists all the time, you know? Like, he's just got, like, a, I don't know. He's got a very outdated style. I do really like the Booster Gold costume design. The Ted Kord costume design. I think that's a really cool Black Lantern design, you know? Like, some of the Black Lanterns, they just kind of obviously, like, just threw some shit on them, you know? But, like, it looks like this one's really thought out. And this is actually my whole problem with the whole Black Lantern series is that, like, they've already established that these aren't the actual characters. You know, they're just facsimiles of some parts of their personalities in a really hostile way. You know, so, like, it's really just going to be however long this storyline is going to be. Like, this many issues of Booster dealing with some level of guilt about a character that's been dead for so long, so who really is concerned anymore? You know what I mean? And, like, also, Blue Beetle is not a very formidable threat anyway, like, versus Booster Gold. You know, like, the one we have here is, like, punching people through buildings and, like, you know, living and having super guns and shit like that. And Blue Beetle's all right, you know what I mean? But, like, it's like they're amping up his power level, so just so he'd be, like, interesting anyway. Which they're doing for all the Black Lanterns, admittedly, but, like, it just, I don't know, it doesn't fit. It seems like such a waste of time, you know, like, I don't know. And, like, I think one of
I think the jury's still out on that, though. I think this, would you agree this was at least a good setup for what may or may not come in the next part? I mean, this is just
that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like all the emotions that Rick been dealing with are not stuff that's going to be, like, really, it's not really going to go anywhere. Because what's the end of the story? He's going to kill Booster and be like, I forgive myself. Like, that's how it's going to be.
How are you so sure that that's what the story's going to be? I mean, maybe it's not a story about forgiving himself or even, is this really Ted? Maybe it's just maybe it's something else.
It can't be anything else.
Yeah, but exactly. And, like, where else is this story going to go?
What if it ends with
Ted's pregnant before he died? Like, I mean,
we don't know. Maybe. It leads to the resurrection of Ted. We have no idea.
Maybe we'll get Ted's, 5-year-old son who is now a baby.
I mean, yeah. I guess anything really? You want. And, like, well, I'm going with what's indicating the issue. And the themes he's setting up is, like, Booster has a lot of conflict over what happened to Ted and he feels responsible. Right. So, like, confronting Ted, the whole point is going to be confronting Ted and, like, having to deal with that. You know, like,
well, of course,
a lot of black.
Of course, I mean, it's like, a little bit of that, but will that be the focus? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I just feel like it's where it's going, and that's, I don't know where else it's going to go. You know, like I said, in Dan Jurgens, like I said, very typical kind of, like I said, 90s writing style. It's going to go the same way all the stuff he wrote in the 90s went. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, like, predictable.
Wasn't that much a bad thing to think of the 90s in this mostly modern day? Something different.
Well, no, I mean, that's fine. It just, it seems dated. Like, you know, like, it's very, like, I don't know. And I think one of the reasons the art looks as good as it does, because it looks good, I think, is the coloring. But it's funny, because this book is, like, so insanely over-colored compared to, like, so much stuff you see coming out now. I think that has to do with the fact that, like, colorists are using a lot more techniques and a lot more color in, like, any given comic. And Dan Jurgens, it looks like he's drawn a lot of details, but he has so much blank space on the page when he's done penciling and inking, you know what I mean? So, like, you look at, like, that one, I don't know if you guys have the issue in front of you, but if you look at, like, the one big funeral spread, there's, like, an insane amount of color and flair and, like, you know, Superman's cape is made out of,
although, you know, like, I think it does,
or something, you know, so it's like, I don't know.
Bright-ass book.
It's very over-designed.
It feels like there's a lot of colors, but it's sort of like it's sort of toned down. I never really liked Hi-Fi's colors. I don't know why they color every single book. Just saying.
Because it's a group.
I know.
Some of the colors, I mean, like, I think the opening, the first, like, couple of pages look great. I think the blue, the introduction of Ted when he's dead, I think that, first of all, I want to say that it being called Ted is pretty funny. And it's the kind of sense of humor I haven't really, like, seen in the series, you know? Like, so I think that's pretty good. And that's what I'm saying about the Booster Gold character, because I think Booster Gold character is kind of despicable, and Dan Jurgens kind of writes him, like, really neutral, you know what I mean? But anyway, so I guess if you guys do letter grades, I'm definitely going to go, like, I'll say D to be, like, I'll be, like, charitable. I'll say D, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
So we have a D.
D for don't publish this anymore.
Okay. So we have a D plus, we have a D, we have two Bs. Aside from that, my review will say that I'm not gonna give it a B. I'm actually not gonna give it a B.
What did Andrew give it?
A solid B.
Yeah, so it's three Bs. Me, Colton,
and Andrew.
So
it's just three Bs. You had a B also. So it's three Bs between Colton and you.
Come on, learn to count.
I'm sorry. But As far from that, actually, I do not know where to go with the story. So, I mean, I read Blue Beetle, Booster Go earlier on when it was coming out, and I stopped for a while, and I picked it up only for Blackest Night. And to be honest, I read the entire part where Ted Kord came back from the dead, and you know they were running buddies again, except you know altered realities and you know everything messed up in the world.
The funny thing is, I was the exact same way. I think it was, like, right after Jeff Johns left is when I'm like...
Oh, I was going to say, tell me, please, you didn't stop reading the moment Jeff Johns left.
I stopped reading just because Jeff Johns left. I stopped reading a couple issues after Jeff Johns left. I'm like, I'm not really liking where this book is going anymore. So I didn't stop reading just because Jeff Johns left. After Jeff Johns left, I kept reading for a couple issues, and I didn't like where it was going. So I just sort of
I get you. To be honest, I had the same feeling. Like, it was like...
Don't tell me you left after Jeff Johns left, and you know, just I mean,
patronizing myself. You went, you said you were going the exact same route.
I told myself I was like, okay, I've read everything so far of the Jeff and the Jurgens collaboration so far. I'm up to issue 1,000,000. This is the end of the Jeff run. I didn't really love the next few issues. There was a few issues before Jurgens took over solo, but then. Even still, there's like three or four or five issues that were like, and I was like, you know, I can't just, on principle, I can't stop supporting this book just because Jeff left, because that's what it would be. So I'm going to stick it through and I'm going to keep collecting.
You trudge Don just so you don't seem bad in the eyes of the rest of the comic.
But you know what?
The people who you don't even have to tell that that's why you left. You can tell them it's a different reason. You can totally lie, but no. You have to do it just to not seem bad in your own eyes.
I'm glad I did, though, because the latest three, four, five issues, especially that arc with Nightwing, has been
fantastic. What are you banging against the table? Like, boom, boom, ugh.
Okay.
Trying to open a beer bottle?
Rebels.
No, wait, I'm sorry, I'm still trying to finish my review. All
right.
I was just trying to talk about
it. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
He's joking.
We went into like an hour into this.
Fuck it, selfish, Frank.
I'm sorry, Eric. But yeah, like I was trying to say, I pretty much read it up to the part where Blue Beetle had to kill himself to save time, and then reading this issue after, I don't know, after like I say 3 issues after, you know, Geoff Johns left, I was reading, you know, the rest of the run. It's sort of weird just to see Booster beating himself up for the fact that, you know, that Blue Beetle's dead, even though it's like, you know what? He died, and then he died again in front of you.
Well, that brings up a good point, because at the end of Booster Gold 1 Million, we did see Booster Gold go back, or I'm sorry, Blue Beetle go back through time, but we didn't actually see him going back to die again. We don't know where he went. I mean, obviously, the timeline wasn't changed, so he must have somehow put a body there or something, but we didn't actually see him die a second time, or did we? I don't recall that we did.
No, we don't see him die a second time. We do see him say his sad farewell, and we see everything go white because time sort of reverses itself back to regular continuity.
It'd be interesting to see how that played out, though. Like, okay, yeah, okay, Max, so right here in the top. Okay, right. Okay, I'm good. Bam. Okay.
Yeah, it would be weird that he would have had an offshot adventure in time, and then eventually gets himself.
I would love to see that Blue Beetle's adventures in the time of the dinosaurs.
Yeah, but aside from that, you know, the
Blue Beetle teams up with Caveman Batman.
Ted Kord inspires Dan.
I agree with the fact that it doesn't really tug on the heartstrings as much as Eric said. It was just, you know, it was trying to play up the emotion, the fact that he's dead, reintroduce to the fact that he's dead, stay over again to the fact that he's dead, and then
did we mention that he's dead?
And then show the emotional grief that Booster Gold was going through.
How else could they have played this, though? I mean,
I don't know, but it's the way they went, and I'm just not totally, you know.
I think with a better writer, I think that's really the answer, you know. Like, I don't think the setup was necessarily the answer. I just don't think Dan Jurgens is really all that hot.
It wasn't that good of writing, that's all.
Yeah,
it wasn't interesting.
Am I correct in saying you are calling Dan Jurgens out?
Yeah, no. If he wants to come down here and talk to me, I'll talk to him. I'll set him straight. Just give it up. Tell him to do breakdowns. That's it.
Bring it, bitch.
if you want to come down here and talk to me, I'd be like, yo, Dan Jurgens, you are awesome. I love your stuff. Sort of like Wes.
Dan is the man. I don't like Dan's dialogue, but and I agree.
He's the man.
Wait. Better or worse than James Robinson?
James Robinson on a good day is great. Yeah. Dan Jurgens on a good day is. The 90s, Gary.
Dan Jurgens on a good day makes sense.
Let me get good crypto.
That was awesome, Wes. Your comeback has left me speechless.
You know, Dan Jurgens on a good day is, you know, fairly good. Grant Morrison on a great day sort of makes sense.
Die slow, Kuma.
As far as I go, to be honest, I give the issue a C+, actually.
Well, at least it's not a D. Hey.
So it's a serious show for us.
Like, the artwork was good. It was very colorful, as it was pointed out to me. But you know, the way it was handled in terms of writing style, it could have been a lot more.
Guys, I just realized that if we had somebody with their name starting with D in our podcast, we would have somebody A, B, C, D, E, and F.
That's special.
Andrew, Brandon, Colton. D, Eric, and Frankie.
I love the fact that
we get Dan Jurgens down here.
Yes, we get Dan Jurgens down here just to have that. Perfect. Awesome. Let's do it. Hold on.
All right, so basically, to wrap it up for Booster Gold 26, we give it a what?
C plus-ish.
Does it kind of lean a bit more positive than negative?
Here, C plus overall.
You sort of have to curve West grade because he's a huge pessimist.
I give it a D plus.
A sliding scale.
It's nice in the mind.
A D plus is like an A.
Yes, it was nicer than Eric's.
That's fine, but as far as we can tell, Eric's a pessimist.
West grade needs a handicap.
Okay, so now we're moving right along to Rebels number 10.
All right, hold on. Let me call up Dan Jurgens.
If you have the number to call Dan Jurgens right now, Kuhan.
Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, Dan, what's up? You want
to... Explain yourself.
I want to talk to you about your poses. They're all the same.
Over two of our podcasts, I want to throw down with you.
What do you have against fingers?
I've got two double fists for you, Dan.
Can I touch you?
So we're moving right along to Rebels number 10, and you know what? I'm going to start with Mew, because
he's going to double fist you.
Rebels more than Mew.
I've got to say, I was really excited for this issue, because I've loved the entire run of this series. All the issues, the annual. I just enjoy them, and as I see this series get poor sales, I just have to be disappointed in every person who isn't buying it.
What are the sales like? Do you know?
The last issue... Issue 8 was at just over 11,000 issues sold. Even its first issue, it sold around 23,000, so it hasn't had a very fantastic start. But it has had real critical love.
Yeah, it does. It's actually a very good book. It deserves a lot more credit than it's what it's getting.
But we'll let our reviews speak for themselves. Going on to my own, this issue is actually a pretty good issue to start on. I mean, they give a lot of basic information about the Legion and the characters as the Black Lanterns arrive. They give good information on the color spectrum and the Black Lanterns themselves in fast order, while still keeping Vril's perfect wit. And we still get even more continuation on the story and detail on the story for people who might not have been reading it, which I feel is important for a jumping point. And one thing that was important about this issue that so few times realize, you need to continue the plot while you still tie in. Rebels did this.
Doom Patrol!
Yes, Doom Patrol, nothing happened. They stopped the plot to have that happen. In Rebels, the plot continues on. A lot of significant stuff happens that will affect the book in long term.
That may have some notes of as the Bedard was writing Blackest Night Titans at the same time and sort of knew what was happening.
Well, that was a separate mini-series.
Right, but at least he knows what's going on in Blackest Night. I mean, if you're writing a Blackest Night tie-in, a book that's made specifically to be a tie-in to the book, you should probably know what's happening. Doom Patrol is
Who's buying Rebels right now?
I am.
So am I.
Okay.
Who was waiting for copies from you? I am.
I'm sorry. I need to get a ride to the post office. I need to get a ride to the post office.
Oh my god, buy a car.
I have a car somewhere, but my sister won't give it to me.
So use your parents' car.
Focus.
I don't have a license.
How do you have a license?
Mew.
What else did you think about Rebels?
Oh, right. The issue. But, you know, I like the art. I mean, this is a very different style than like usual art, but I like it. It kind of fits with the characters. Each character has their distinct look, and although he's kind of a slow artist, Andy Clark, where he has to have a backup artist, I at least like to have the same backup artist so it doesn't change too much. We get the usual Andy Clark here, and we get to see real progress with Lurl Doc's becoming one of Starro's generals, getting his full 12th intellect intelligence being revived and even taken the name Brainiac 3. Well, at the same time, we see the threat of the Black Lanterns as another one of his generals discovers the cruelty of a Black Lantern with his heart being ripped out by none other than, was it a Black Lantern Harbinger?
Binger.
Yeah, here.
How do you pronounce that?
Harbinger.
Harbinger.
Harbinger?
Like Harbinger of Doom.
Harbinger.
And I even like the inclusion of once the barrier is brought down by Brainiac 3, we get to see some Sinestro Corps in the nearby area as they try to flee from a Black Lantern. And I don't believe these are actually old Sinestro Corps members, are they? Because I didn't recognize any of them.
They more than likely were made especially for that book.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were.
Actually, this one is of the planet, I don't even know. Keep going.
And I like the promptness of the final moment, where we finally get to see the moment where Vril Drax gets his first ring with the Sinestro Corps ring. With all his criticizing of the Guardians and all of his comments about fear, we finally get to see what he would do with some fear. And he looks smug about it.
I mean, I think it's also the fact that he usually looks smug, so...
Well, that's part of his character. He is an ass, but he's an ass you like to watch.
It is true. So, what would you grade me?
A. This was a fantastic issue. Good art, good story. It kept the story while also tying in well, and I can't wait for the damn next issue.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement for that. Brandon, I will go for you.
excuse me. I thought it was good. I can't really say that it moved the plot forward because I'm not reading this shit. And Andy Clark's art, it's not bad. It's just a little too rough for me. It's not what I want out of a space book or any book for that matter. It's not. I get the feeling that when I was reading it, it's a little too gritty for what it's supposed to be.
What do you expect space to be?
Well, I need it to
unicorns.
Be
unicorns.
I don't want Gleason messy type of art, but I need some kind of brightness. Not maybe not Dan Jurgens bright or whatever you pronounce his name, but
Jurgens.
It felt dull and dark as opposed to okay. Look at this character. Look at this character. We're supposed to be seeing what's it? Viral Docs. Emitting the fear, but instead of an imposing guy at the last page, I'm getting just some guy in a long-ass coat looking mean. And I thought the art took away from the story a little bit, but it was well told. I can't complain about much. I don't think the other the characters got much to say, well, much to shine. I thought Real was the only character that held his own during this issue. And if I do pick up this series after Blackest Night, then it'll be solely based on my interest in that character. Hopefully those other characters mean something to the title, but I get the feeling that they're irrelevant.
Okay, the characters are very relevant to the plot. It's just that this particular issue was setting up a lot of not only continuing the plot, but also trying to tie in trying to Vril's whole tie into the Black Lanterns themselves with his, you know, ex-lover slash rapist slash mother's child.
Okay. I guess overall, I would give it. That doesn't change anything.
Okay, whatever. I don't care.
I would probably give it a B plus. It was good. Like I said, the art kind of brought the issue down a bit for me. But it was good. A great tie-in. Simple, and it was interesting. So B plus.
We have a first B plus for the night from Brandon.
Woo!
It's been a while, hasn't it? For anything.
Actually, it has been a while. I think Blackest Night Titans was the last one he actually gave high marks.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. Kuhan.
Yes. All right. Obviously, I haven't been reading Rebels as we asked and, you know, basically figured out before. The art was, it was, like Wes said, I think it was a little rough. It was a little odd. I mean, it wasn't bad by any means. It was definitely pretty good art. I did think that the art and colors were a little weird in the when they were showing like Green Lantern and Flash and that kind of stuff. It was just sort of the art style definitely doesn't fit those characters, but it definitely fits this book. I'm pretty sure that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that.
like I agree that it fits this book. I just don't think it fits the like I'm looking at this panel with it's got like Hal
green
Jordan,
constructs and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's got Hal Jordan and Sinestro and these green constructs and all these people fighting, and it's like, you know, it doesn't really fit that. But I can understand how it could fit this book. The writing was definitely good. I'll say that. It was good writing. I didn't really know what was going on. I guess
I have to ask, if it was good writing, could you follow what was happening? Or you just couldn't understand.
Yeah, I could follow what was happening. I just wasn't really sure what had been going on before this, so I wasn't really sure what was going on.
All right.
You know, like a lot of political talk happening was kind of like, oh, yeah, sure, I guess. I was sort of tuning out during parts of it. I was like, oh. Yeah, it's kind of boring. But I read through most of it, at least skimmed through most of it. And, yeah. it was, all in all, I do like how it's, it didn't impose, like, the story on this book, and if you're one of those people who, for some reason, is only reading Rebels and small books, like, you know, you're only reading Rebels and Doom Patrol for whatever reason, then you understand, like, it does a pretty good job of telling you, hey, this is what's happening, not like Doom Patrol, which basically goes, oh, by the way, zombies coming, zombies. So, but, the odd thing is, as far as I could tell, there wasn't really a lot of Blackest Night in this issue. It was just mostly a lot of Rebel stuff with some Blackest Night stuff in it. Am I about right? You guys agree?
I'll give you that.
Your assessment.
I mean, some Blackest Night stuff sort of showed up near the middle, and you know, in the beginning a little bit. But
in the end.
Well, and I mean the end.
Yeah, that's more War of Light than.
Yeah, that's not Blackest Night. Blackest Night is more War of Light type stuff. But I mean, wow. some black what?
There's it fits more with the cosmic setting.
Right. I understand that. I'm just saying that they put the Blackest Night banner on this to get more sales. Just like Doom Patrol.
Well, yeah, of course.
but you don't see the relevance of the particular Black Lantern coming after Rogue?
I can see how, like, near the end. Oh, I was thinking this in the middle. This is the end. In the beginning and the end, there's Blackest Night, but in the middle, there's really not much. It did seem like Blackest Night sort of imposed on it, but it still was able to follow its own story while there was a little bit of Blackest Night imposition.
Which I think is important in the tie-in.
I agree. I'm not saying it's bad. By any means, I'm not saying it's bad. It just goes to show that Bedard is a great writer, and I think he's a really awesome person. And you know, if he wants to come on the podcast again, I'm not against that.
Wait. Gohan, are you kissing up to Tony Bedard?
Yes, I am.
I do it every day, so no worries.
Let's all take notice of who is doing this fap now.
Stop the fap.
That was Andrew. Anyways, it was,
what would you grade?
My grade, from what I know about this... Jesus Christ, Andrew. From what?
If it's not one thing.
It's especially for, you know, I'm. For what it is, for a tie into a, you know.
Wait. Okay, now Gohan.
For a tie in from a book that really, you know, it's sort of Blackest Night is sort of. Tangentially related to it, and sort of kind of fits for a book where this Blackest Night time was basically to boost sales. I think it was done well, and I think it deserves. I'm gonna give it an A minus for what it is.
All right. So we have a solid A, an A minus, and a B plus.
That's right. All
right. I go with Eric.
Yeah, I followed Rebels sort of when it started. I was excited to see Real Jock into the DC universe, because I think he's kind of interesting, like, character or whatever.
When it started in the 90s or no?
No. I mean, you used to follow it sort of, and not really, because there was too many spin-offs and too many times and stuff, and a little younger then. But I was reading, like, backlogs and stuff like that. I always liked that character, and I love Brainiac, and I love the Kaluans and stuff, and my favorite part of the issue is where, you know, this sounds like, oh, call me Brainiac 3. I think that's great. And I actually like Andy Clark's art a lot. I just think the big problem with him in this issue is the layouts. The first, like, three or four pages are great. And then especially the splash page that opens up looks great. But everything then becomes too busy. There's too many different characters on the page at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just a little too convoluted. Overall, like I said, reading this, it makes me want to read Rebels. I think it's, I think you kind of see a lot of this, kind of the cosmic book, across, like, I mean, not to mention the other company, but, like, you do see this across, like, the two companies. Like, this is another thing kind of reminds me of the 90s, not to, like, pick on, not, like, bad 90s like the other one, but, like, the idea, like, you have this kind of, like, team book of random characters across the DC universe, like, together, and, you know, they're sassy and stuff like that, you know, like that whole thing. And that's great, and I think Brill Doc is a character that needs a good spotlight. But I'd actually rather see him in another book, because I didn't really love this book. I like Tony Bedard, sort of, but I feel like he writes similar to a lot of writers that are good, but himself is not really that great. You know, like, Brill Doc is a character archetype we've seen a lot before, and I think he works best, like, amongst other people and stuff. But I think, yeah, like somebody was saying before, the best – he is, like, the primary focus of Rebels, and it's kind of like his book, no one else's book, you know? And that kind of, like, it gets a little jarring at times, you know, like – and it's fun to kind of deal with an asshole the entire time, but then at some point you get just fucking tired of the asshole, you know what I mean? And I like how, you know, he gets this Sinestro ring at the end, and that'd be cool if that was a mainstay for the comic, but you know that's going to, like, leave the issue after, you know what I mean? And, yeah, I guess I liked that they tie the Black as Night stuff in a little, but it really does seem completely unnecessary and sort of a little too diverting from what actually is going on in the story, you know? Like, and as a result, the issue feels a little too busy. You know, I do want to check out the series, but I don't think this is the best issue to kind of start out with. So I'm going to say, keep it short, I'm just going to say, like, maybe a C+. Overall. I mean, I do like this guy's art. I've seen him do stuff before. He was a lot better. I just don't – I mean, just something about – I don't know, maybe he just had too much to do on all the other pages, but the first four look great.
Okay, so I figured out that Eric's grade also needs to be rounded up a little bit, too.
They hate pessimists.
Okay, oh, no, yeah, I'm really negative. Like, it's honestly, like, especially considering these freaking things are, like, $4 now, like, I'm sorry. It's
entirely full.
He totally gets it.
I spent $18 this week. I'm not even supposed to spend more than $10.
But, yeah. The book's normally $2.99, but it's also a smaller book that was expanded for the tie-in in size.
Oh, it's fine. It's just still – $3 is still a lot to pay for something that, like, I'm not liking. You know what I mean? Like, especially like he's saying, I'm spending at least $25 on these things a week, you know, and I got to be – I have to – I mean, I should be satisfied or drop the title. You know what I mean? Like, and this is good. I just feel like this has elements of other –
Don't worry. In the other issues, it's more – the characters are more prevalent, but there is a lot going on, so they have to get a lot done in a short time.
It's not your job to sell us on the book, man.
I'll do it anyways. I like the damn book. If it dies, I'm going to kill you all.
Nowadays. This book reminds me of, again, I'm not sure how much you guys mentioned other companies and stuff, but this book reminds me of something like MI3, or M13, whatever, the Paul Cornell book.
Captain Britain.
Huh? Yeah, the Britain book. Yeah, yeah. It's really similar, you know, where it's like they get a writer who's – what?
Captain Britain and the MI13. It's MI and 13. Both those together.
Right. Okay.
I mean, what is this Captain Britain you speak of? I don't know.
Dude, he's trying to talk. Quit being a dick.
You know what, Mew? Shut up.
He can be a total awesome dick. Anyway, the point is, it reminds me of books like that. It reminds me of, like, what Marvel's doing with their cosmic stuff now, you know, like Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff. And they're all good books. And I think the books like this book's, I mean, again, having only read two issues, this one and the first one, I can't really comment. But it seems like that, where the books have a lot of flaws, but I think all the positives make up for it. So, yeah. And I do want to see more books like this on the stands with, you know, a lot of personality-driven characters where you don't have to worry. That's one of the reasons I like Green Lantern Corps so much more than I like the proper Green Lantern titles, because, like, you really do have a variety of personalities, and you do get a lot more out of the issue when you have that many characters that you can kind of do whatever you want with, you know what I mean? So, right. Yeah, and I want to see Brill Doc stay in the DC universe, so where the hell has that guy been for the last couple of years? So, yeah, C+.
We'll get C+.
He's been running his legion.
Andrew?
Hello?
Yeah.
Andrew. Oh, I'm up.
What? Oh, you guys are boring me. I took a nap.
I really couldn't articulate my thoughts on it better than Kuhan did. I think he pretty much echoes my sentiments exactly. I don't know. I don't know if I'd be as harsh on the art. I mean, I thought the art was pretty solid.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying it's kind of, you know.
I think it's the coloring. It's almost – it looks kind of sterile.
Yeah,
it's kind of sterile.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying I like the art. I'm just saying – I mean, I wouldn't work in the Green Lantern stuff it shows. Like where it's sort of actual, like, Hal Jordan stuff. That's what I don't like. But,
like, the ring energy doesn't have that
flare.
Yeah, the ring
energy. Well, I mean, Sinestro looks really weird. That's what really threw me out. Sinestro looks really weird.
Looks like – what are those? The Kund. He looks like a Kund.
Anyways.
Not a cunt. Okay.
Yes,
the cunt do show up in the series.
No, but I enjoyed the issue. I mean, I do share the sentiment of not entirely knowing what was going on, like as far as the issues before it. Although I did read the Starro Annual, which was very interesting. I liked that a lot. but the writing is such that even though I wasn't quite sure what was going on, I was still compelled enough to finish it and actually take something away from it and actually look forward to the next issue, which is a lot because I don't really read Rebels. I'm not a follower of Vril Dox, or apart from the few appearances he's had with in Green Lantern or crossovers and such that I picked up along the way. But no, I really liked it. I'm actually, because Mew has been supposed to send me like this package of like.
I've got one through seven.
A lot of Rebels comics, and granted, I've been looking forward to it. But
I am very sorry. I've been trying to get this done. This whole last week has been heavy tests.
I'm going somewhere with this. I'm saying like, I've been.
I'm not really sure where, but I'm going somewhere with this.
Not really looking forward to it greatly. Like, oh my god, one of those comics going to be here. I'm gonna post up on the mailbox and later. But now it's kind of like, you know what, I'd really like to read those comics now. What were those fucking comics?
If you'll give me 5 minutes.
I'd really love to read these comics. Mew, where are those comics?
What do you guys think about that Sinestro Corps lady? I thought she was kind of intriguing. I like that. I like that back shot. I was very partial to that myself.
Oh, the skirt.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I caught that.
That page is my new wallpaper.
I like Vril becoming a Sinestro Corps member. I think that may go somewhere interesting for a minute. But yeah, looking forward to the next one. I give this one B plus.
The rings are weird in this too. The rings look.
I'm sorry.
Weird.
What did I give it?
You give it a B.
You gave it a B plus.
All right, I'll give it a B.
I'm lowering my grade a little bit just so you
know. Okay,
that's just mean. That's just mean spirited.
You know, one thing I definitely didn't like about it was that I do think the Sinestro Corps ring cliffhanger, it's a good cliffhanger, but I feel like it's obviously one of those false cliffhangers, you know? Like, there's no way they're going to let him run around with the Sinestro Corps ring more than a couple of issues, you know what I mean? At the most.
You never know. He might just keep it. You know,
it'd be nice if he did. That'd be great.
When we had Bedard on the podcast, he seemed to be implying that it's going to be a. It's going to be a thread for a while.
And they also mentioned that.
Even if it is, how do you get rid of
the ring? I mean, post Blackest Night, at some point, the Legion is going to be competition against the Green Lantern Corps. And there's going to be more recurring connections.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier. One of the things that I think is really interesting about the Legion versus the Green Lantern Corps is kind of the Green Lantern Corps is like this, like, it's interesting if you think about it because they kind of just impose their ideology and just kind of assume everyone wants them to be the police of the universe, whatever, where Legion is kind of like gives people the option to hire them or not. But I always think it's funny that people go and hire Legion where they can just kind of call the Green Lantern Corps and get like, you know, five
well,
times much.
No
well, I'm sure that yeah, sure no some planets are dissatisfied with the Green Lantern Corps.
I mean, it's only two people per sector. I mean,
and if you're in 2814, you're fucked because it's Hal's on Earth just chilling around.
And John doesn't give a shit.
John just sits on the asteroid looking at the dead planet.
Right, John just hangs out, sort of napping, like, hey, yo, Hal, you need me? No, I'm good up here. All right, cool. That's cool.
Is Zanchi even in 2814?
I doubt it.
No, I think it's not.
I think it's in 2813. I think it's only a sector over.
Well, that's one of the things, too, about the sectors, too, especially in Green Lantern Corps. I forget their sectors all the time, because they're always calling for backup, and there's always, like, you know, advances. Hanging out with, you know, friggin' Sora Nagnatu, and you're like, how are you guys anywhere near each other and stuff? So, like, I forget about that all the time.
The sectors are kind of like a pie chart. They kind of all point towards Oa.
Yeah, if you're in Oa, you're definitely in all the sectors.
It's triangular, all pointing towards Oa. So
yeah,
like,
and they got the Honor Guard now and the Alpha Lanterns that don't really have sectors and stuff. So
well, they're starting to run low on Honor Guard and Alpha Lanterns.
Alpha Lanterns. Hey, could you make us some Alpha Lanterns, man?
We'll get to that in a sec.
Like, they ever tell us what the fuck?
That's a segue. Never,
what happened to Kraken?
What happened to Kraken?
What can I say? Actually, I really do like Tony Bedard's writing in Rebel Sen. I mean, only because I have been reading it for the past 10 issues, so I actually know what's been going on for the story. I would be honest to say, you know what? It's not the greatest jumping on point for anybody who's going to be actually reading Rebel. Would be recommended you read it from the beginning, or at least from like the midway point of Rebels, like issue 5 or something.
But you gotta admit that it's a better. You, you've got to admit that's better jumping on point than most of these issues have been.
Do we have to grade?
To be honest, I could. You can jump on Booster Gold at number 26.
I was going to say. I think that has more to do with the Booster Gold writing up because it's so generic. But, I mean, yeah, I think that's a much better jumping on point.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's true.
Dare you contradict me?
Anything that's going on in Booster Gold, that's, you know, Poe, it's not like he's dealing with the Black Beetle, dealing with anybody else. He just jumps. You can just jump in and go, hey, he's dead Ted Kord, and Booster Gold feeling sorry for himself.
As a matter of fact, you could not have read 2 years worth of comics and read that comic and have no problem with it.
Pretty much. So for saying that Rebels number 10 is, you know, it's a great jumping on point, I can't. It's not. You would literally have to read everything else just to know where he's going, because you have to understand where his son came from, what's going on with his son, and so on, and who Stealth was. I mean,
well, they kind of give an idea on Stealth when they download her memory.
You snipped it as to who Stealth was, in the process of this book. You understand that she, you know, raped Bill Docks and then had his child, and apparently they ran together, all loving duck for a while, they ran off.
Yeah, okay, well, that's completely fucked up. I thought he raped her.
Nope.
No,
that definitely was not clear.
I could sort of tell that he raped her. I wasn't positive, but it seemed that way.
She kind of backhanded him and then implied sex and then.
Implied sex.
Did
you not feel it? Rape. 12-level intellects. They don't feel. Racist.
Rape.
Well, about the continuity thing, that's actually one of the things that makes these kind of series so entertaining, because they're so like wrought with like complicated plots, and that's like why a series like this is going to be so good. But like the drawback again is because if the first two issues don't sell really well, then you're lost. You're just kind of fucked until the storyline ends. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm kind of against jumping on points. I mean, I know it's like for the sales and stuff like that, but I hate I'm reading like 20 issues and issue 21 comes out and it's a recap of everything that's happened so far. You know what I mean? It's really frustrating for me, you know?
Well, it depends on the size of the recap. It's only one or two paragraphs. It's not so bad. But when it's the whole issue, that might be a big deal.
You don't need a recap of everything you've read in the last 2 years.
Aside from that, I'll say, you know, Andy Clark's artwork, I really do enjoy. I mean, the one thing, I mean, everybody keeps bagging on apparently that, you know, also the colorist, what is it, like, Jose Bro... I can't pronounce it. It's like Bro... Like, I'm forgetting his name right now.
Wait, aren't you Mexican?
Jose Villarubia. Villarubia.
One of them.
Villarubia.
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 Villarubia. I really like the art, the color job, just because, again, all you guys may say that it's sterile, but you know what? Space is sterile.
It is.
But the space looks fine. It's
space
the people that are
not
in
have
it.
Children.
It's like, to me, it's a perfect, like, you know, sort of like, tone. It just looks nice to me.
I understand for this book, but the problem is I don't have a problem with most of the colors. I'm just saying the one or two scenes where it's trying to show Hal Jordan and Sinestro and orange and blue.
Oh, yeah, okay, I understand. Like, okay, I understand. You're making the point of the fact that when you bring the other core members in here, the bright lights and everything, you're just making it all
right.
Look.
And you're trying to show Flash's bright red costume, like, and it's really
dull. To be honest,
dull.
Flash's face is hilarious in that panel.
Yeah, it is.
No, it wasn't even the right eye color. That pissed me off.
You know what? Shut up. Oh my god.
Who the fuck has orange eyes? What the fuck?
Dude, I can't even.
He feels great avarice.
He was feeling avarice at the moment.
Dude, his eyes are blue. What are you talking about?
10 years ago, this coloring would have been awesome, but it's just like after we see Moose and like people like Nini Ruffino and stuff do the energy real cool and like, you know, like something you see in a movie or something, like you get spoiled by that and you see this and it's like, oh.
Exactly.
Yeah, get those epileptic weirdos who did the Dan Jurgen comic and get them on there.
High five on this shit. Okay, West, I'm looking at this. His
Lens
eyes are blue.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm looking at it right now.
Flares.
His eyes are blue,
West,
actually,
are you colorblind or something? Because his eyes are blue.
My shit has orange eyes. I'm so
Someone printed your issue wrong.
Wes, you're colorblind.
I think
what a way to find out.
I'm taking a look at mine. Hold on.
But getting into the game, the rest of it. Yeah.
The panel with Martian Manhunter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue eyes.
Blue eyes.
Maybe you're reading from behind or something.
Dude,
is the issue upside
blue.
Down?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The issue is not upside down.
The Flash is not the one in black.
You know what?
Yeah, maybe you're looking at his shirt or something. His shirt's probably red.
Oh, that's what it is. My bad.
Okay, it was so, funny that was actually true.
Going to the rest of it, you know, the fact that his son was actually made into Brainiac 3, you know, again, it's a given if you read the rest of the books, and you know that passed it. We knew it was going to happen eventually. It's happening. This happening here. Pretty interesting. I will see. I want to see where that goes. You know, to be honest. I mean, again, the writing is great, and it intrigues me for the fact that you know what it is. The rebels and Road Dogs is the star in this book, and everybody else is pretty much just you know has like character moments, but it's mainly about Road Dogs and you know what's going on here and how the fact that he will destroy whatever the hell is gonna you know is coming after. Because I've always been particular into the brain, into Gluons, everything that you know.
Yeah.
Like going into like Legion. I love Legion. I love Brainiac 5.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me more interested in Rebels. The point where you know the Sinestro members come into the book, and you know it's a good segue. It's brings them nice into the flux. I mean, to be honest, they should have been in the book anyway. Like seriously, you have a space.
What do the Sinestro Corps guys do when they're not like attacking Oa? Like
nothing. They just sort of hang out.
Aren't they supposed to like you know wreak havoc through all the sectors?
He's still here. Do they have like just a clubhouse to go and hang out?
Pretty much.
They pretty much just hide in the back, going, "Oh my God, we're so scared of the Green Lantern Corps that we're not going to come out and face them."
Or like, because their boss is in jail, they don't feel like they have to do any work, you know?
Yeah, they're just like, "We're on break until Bro shows up, right?" Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we're gonna take a good 10-month coffee break until our boss breaks out of jail.
Or like Mongol, who like takes like 6,000 of them to conquer one fucking planet of just like dudes, like absurd.
They're Superman
light. It's a planet of all dudes.
Eventually. Just dudes.
They're like redneck Superman.
Just dudes.
Like eventually, but like when he first goes there. And then it's funny because then he goes to Korrigar and conquers. Like it takes him like, I feel like 8 months to conquer friggin' Daxam. And then he goes to Korrigar and conquers it in like half an issue.
Well, they don't do anything. They just kind of just like
that entire you realize that entire arc takes place in between like two issues of Final Crisis. Okay. I mean, we're talking about
like two issues of Final Crisis.
The events of like
technically will mean it took
the events
like
of like
two
a day
hours?
Or two. Yeah. Or less.
Admittedly, Korrigar does nothing to fight back. They are pretty submissive. Like, oh, Sinestro, we love you. You're now our leader. Oh, hey, Sonic Netto, we hated you like 5 minutes ago, but you saved us, kind of, so now we love you. Like, they don't really have a mind of their own.
Well, I like Daxam's defense mechanism was to throw themselves off cliffs. Like, you know, this'll get them.
This will show them.
We'll get them.
This is the best idea we've ever had.
Yeah, they can't get what they want if we kill ourselves.
I mean, it's pretty awesome that he conquered the planet with just an arm, but then, like, he just kind of, I don't know, didn't do anything for, like, weeks and weeks, so that's cool.
What happened to the giant snake? The giant Midgar snake thing?
It
I want to see that.
Got too. Ripped up.
It was gutted.
It got ripped up.
It eventually will be back in Green Lantern Corps at some point during this book.
That would be one meaning.
But aside from that, to get to the point of the rest of my Rebels review, again, I enjoy it. The fact that, you know, Road Dogs got the Sinestro Ring at the end after a Sinestro Corps member was killed was pretty cool. Again, I doubt it'll stay for the rest of, you know, for the rest of the series. I mean, it would be great.
Cool.
It would be awesome. I mean,
and the sales would, like, go through the roof. Like, a regular Sinestro Corps member as a cast member, they should keep it. There's no reason they shouldn't keep it, but they'll probably just not keep it. You know what I mean?
I don't see him getting rid of it, but he might not just use as much. He might keep it more as a memento or as an emergency.
I doubt that.
How can he?
No, he's either going to use it or he's not.
If he doesn't die, the ring won't go.
At the main fact of the book, at the end of it, was when he actually, you know, was going, like, he always wondered how this power will feel like. You can know, in his smug, supreme way, it's like, you know what, you hand him the keys to the kingdom, he'll totally use it. It's not like he's going to back down from it. He won't need an army anymore as much. He will have submissive slaves, as implied in the first, in the beginning of the book.
Maybe he'll just do what, you know, Mongol should have realized, like, when he first got the rings and realized it, because, you know, they're named after the guy Sinestro. He's probably got some kind of way to turn them around on people, you know? So maybe he'll just be like, oh, this
the
is nice, but I can't core? Really use it.
Huh? I feel like the Sinestro Corps is on core? Borrowed. I feel like the Sinestro Corps is on borrowed time. I don't know.
It feels that way. I mean, especially with the fact
that Sinestro's
created the Corps for only one purpose, and one purpose only, to change the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
Their entire point, and he has no...
His mission was accomplished in Green Lantern 25. I mean, that was...
And, you know,
I
said to Eric before, he's his entire purpose, he doesn't deny the fact that he just wants to, you know, use
for one sole fact.
Good. Man, Vril and Sinestro just need to meet and have this big jackass off.
You know, I think it's – all right, here's my problem with the Sinestro Corps.
They can be with Vegeta
general.
And
Okay, so the point of the Sinestro Corps, like, the members think they're just supposed to wreak havoc and fear, but Sinestro is, like, bald about the fact that the only reason he has the Corps is to incite the Green Lantern Corps to do something else, you know what I mean? So, like, imagine you're sitting there, you know, the lady with no face that eats children, you know, and you're like, oh, it's sweet, I got this wicked ring for Conqueror, and he's like, yeah, my end game is that you totally get murdered. How does that feel? Like, why do they keep wearing
game is that you get murdered. How does that feel? What up?
I'm not clear on their general purpose. I mean, they just go
exactly like what do they do besides
they go sector to sector, going boo to people. I mean, what?
Well, you know, that's funny because that's when they had the Tales of the Green Lantern Corps for Blackest Night, and they had that one storyline where they showed the woman with the blood wings or whatever from the I forget what her name is, the Rage of Red Lantern, and they showed the one guy. Yeah, the Sinestro guy went and wrecked
please,
the planet.
Evidently, all of us hate.
Just a bit
regardless
of
whatever you think of the story.
Which is a bit of a retcon, because that was supposed to actually be Sinestro in that the Secret Origins issue or whatever it was. Or the
It looked like him. Secret Files. It looked exactly like him,
but it was changed, so it wasn't him.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, now, again, whatever you think of that story, like, it's cool to think about the idea that, like, you know, the fucking Sinestro Corps is doing something besides just getting punched by, like, you know, Avanzer's great-grandson or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, something, you know what I mean, besides just hanging out, waiting to get beat up by Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you think? Frank?
My final grade will actually be, I give the book a B-.
So what is our tally now?
Just call it an F.
It's not an F.
Dude,
it's
not West,
you gave this issue a B.
You gave it a B.
I said C plus. It was all B's and a C plus and an A, so it's a B.
I think it deserves a B minus.
Jesus Christ, you're such a terrible person. You just keep bumping the grade down. By the end of the night, you're going to be like, I think this issue gets an F minus.
As it goes overall, the book is, I say, a B minus overall. What everybody's grade has. Everybody else gave it a B. Eric gave it a C plus. So it's about B minus.
I gave it an A minus.
You gave it a no. It's actually be a B, a solid B.
Well, I think it's a B plus.
It's a C
plus. We had to round up West and we had to round up Eric.
B minuses apparently. A.
If you're gonna round me up, I'm gonna start doing D's and F's on everything. Just so.
you already?
Okay, so.
We only have to round up West because he had a dick his great.
Now we're gonna.
Well, he's colorblind. You shouldn't pick on him.
Right, he's colorblind.
It's not my fault. The whole issue's in black and white.
It's not his fault. These shirts are eyes. That's not his fault.
Moving right along, we're gonna get into our next review. Wait a second. I actually have somebody joining us now. Hold on a second.
Who did Frankie invite? What did everyone think of Green Lantern Corps 42? Find out next time on The Green Lantern Spotlight.
Be sure to check out www.thegreenlanterncorps.com. Check out all your discussion, news, and reviews of Green Lantern comic books. Also check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/GLSpotlight. All the plugs will be in the next episode, so just go ahead and wait for that one. Bye. Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps, property of DC Comics, do not reflect the authenticity of this podcast. Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the creators of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at kirbycracklemusic.com, and the Roy Clark Method, the creators of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freewebs.com/RoyClarkMethod.
I have this magic green. It is the color green. Can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait for too long. We'll be right back.
What, are you still here? The podcast's over. There's no more. You're done. You're free. You can go. No, but seriously, all the stuff that would go afterwards, there's gonna be in a whole nother episode, because it was a lot of stuff. So stay tuned for the episode 31 blooper reel.